Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. This evening's main headlines: the head of the HSE says the current levels of COVID-19 are causing significant and unrelenting pressure on the health service. COVID-19 and continues to impact people waiting on elective surgeries, with hospitals under the Sale to Hospital group particularly badly affected, including Letterkenny University Hospital. And a leading pharmacist in Donegal says his pharmacies are now being made to dump vials of out-of-date COVID-19 vaccines, in part because pharmacies have not been allowed to participate in the booster vaccination programme. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more, as well as the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin and this week's farming news with Chris Ashmore, coming up within the next half hour. To our top story this evening, and the head of the HSE has said that current levels of COVID-19 in the community are causing significant and unrelenting pressure on the health service. There are now 458 people in hospitals with the virus here. That's down 29 on this day last week, but still a rise on 2 weeks ago. 90 COVID patients are now in intensive care units, and over half of those haven't been vaccinated. As of the latest available data, there are now 18 COVID-positive patients receiving treatment at Letterkenny University Hospital, with four of those in the hospital's ICU. The HSE's Paul Reid says that while hospital figures may be starting to stabilise, it's too early to know if that's a trend that will continue with the ever-rising case numbers.
Daily increasing levels of transmission of COVID in the community is causing significant and unrelenting pressure on the health system overall, and many aspects of it under particular duress. We are at a level of transmission in the community that has forced many aspects of our response of our healthcare system overall into surge responses.
COVID-19 continues to impact people waiting on elective surgeries, with hospitals under the Sale to Hospital group particularly badly affected, including Letterkenny University Hospital. In a statement today, Sealta said that planned elective procedures are reviewed on a case-by-case basis and that decisions are being made on clinical need. They also said that OPD services, ambulatory day cases such as gynaecology, endoscopy and other non-theatre day cases will still proceed. Sealta say they regret that patients are having their procedures postponed due to these circumstances. Chief Executive of Sealta, Tony Cavanan, says the majority of operations from Donegal to Galway are being cancelled due to the COVID surge, however.
Right now, all of our sites are examining every elective procedure or potential elective procedure on a case-by-case basis, and really only the most serious cases are getting in, so that's cancers, surgery that may be for life-limiting conditions and so on. That's all that's getting in right now, and that's our plan to continue to work on that basis, examine every case on its own merits, and continue to do our best to try and meet some of that elective requirement. These are patients that have probably been waiting for some time for these procedures, so it is a very significant
1,481 new COVID-19 cases have been recorded in Northern Ireland in the last 24 hours. There's also been an additional 12 COVID-related deaths announced there today. 378 patients are now being treated for the virus in hospitals in Northern Ireland, with 41 of those now in ICU. A leading pharmacist in Donegal has said his pharmacies are now being made to dump vials of out-of-date COVID-19 vaccines, in part because pharmacies have not been allowed to participate in the booster vaccination programme. Director of Healthwise Pharmacies James Cassidy says that at one pharmacy of his alone, there were six vials of COVID-19 vaccine dumped as they were past their use-by date. That's enough for 24 doses of vaccine. He told Greg Hughes that even though his own pharmacy staff are eligible for a booster vaccination as their frontline healthcare workers, they still can't get a booster dose in their own pharmacies.
The big problem, and what's immensely frustrating, Greg, is that I've had numerous requests from people, very, very vulnerable people, and by their nature, these people are sick, and it doesn't suit them to maybe make a two-hour round trip to a vaccination centre. And they're looking to get the booster in their local pharmacy. Now, we've been giving these vaccines successfully to young and old for as soon as we were allowed to participate in the programme. They can't come into us. There are vials of Pfizer COVID vaccine going out of date in pharmacies and in mass vaccination centres around the country.
Wow.
Now, I've had to dump in one pharmacy alone six vials. That's 24 doses. The pharmacy staff are vulnerable healthcare workers who have been told they're eligible for booster vaccines. They have to go to a mass vaccination centre to get that. If they get an appointment, which hasn't even been made available. Mm-hmm. Meantime, we have the vaccines we could give to our own staff on site, and we're told to dump them.
Well, that's offensive, not only because it's not satisfying a need within this country, but there are countries still that have no access or proper access to vaccine, and we're being forced to dump it. What we're being forced? You want to give it to people, but you're being forced to dump it. That's awful.
But Greg, it's not just us. This is
not alone
in pharmacies, in mass vaccination centres, and in GP centres, because most people who want the initial doses have been given them. We're now in booster territory.
A Donegal GP says it's likely that COVID cases are being missed because people are using antigen tests when they display symptoms and then not doing a follow-up PCR test if the antigen result is negative. Speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show, Dr. Kieran O'Farrey said the results of antigen tests can be inaccurate, with up to one-third of antigen tests potentially providing a false negative result. He says that antigen tests are becoming more popular despite this, as it's becoming more and more difficult for people to self-isolate and potentially miss work or school in the process.
As a GP, we're seeing a huge number of respiratory illnesses at the moment, and most of them aren't COVID, we know that. But in amongst them somewhere, there are a cohort of patients with COVID, and with 12% positivity rate of the testing, you would have to estimate that about 1 in 10 respiratory infections out there are COVID. So part of the difficulty now is trying to get people to isolate and consider COVID as a possibility, even though in a lot of instances they don't have COVID. So,
and instead of going to your GP, what a lot of people seemingly are doing as well is when they're symptomatic, they're doing antigen tests. And if the antigen test is negative, it's like, right, it must be something else, and let's crack on.
Absolutely. I've seen lots of that. Lots of people are contacting us saying, I've got a cough, I've done an antigen test, it's negative. I suppose what we know from antigen tests in symptomatic patients is that you'll miss about 1 in 3 cases of COVID. Whether it's okay for people to do an antigen test and get on with life is a question for, I suppose, NPHET and the government, because I think it's increasingly difficult to get people to take 1 or 2 days out of work and family and school to go ahead and get a PCR test. So that's a bigger question, I think, that we're going to have to address going forward.
There was a drop of over 15,000 people claiming the pandemic unemployment payment this week. Just over 77,800 people will receive the payment this week nationally. 2,118 people are now receiving the PUP payment in County Donegal. That's a drop of over 500 people on just 2 weeks ago. The greatest reduction in claimants over the past 2 weeks has been in the accommodation and food services sector. MICA campaigners have expressed regret today after it's emerged that the Cabinet will now not sign off on a revised MICA redress scheme next Tuesday. The following Tuesday, November 16th, is now the more likely date for any potential updated MICA redress scheme to be put to Cabinet to decide on. MICA Action Group PRO Michael Doherty says the delay is down to the reaction to a weekend leak that redress payments will be capped at €350,000 per household. He told Greg Hughes today that the reaction has forced Minister Dara O'Brien back to the drawing board.
The 350 was actually what was being proposed, so it was more than a leak. It was fact, and that wasn't something that the minister knew was going to float with us. And on the back of that, he has delayed it. He's needing the consensus that he hasn't yet got for a better package than that. I don't know what the numbers are going to be. All I do know, and it's very, very clear, 350 comes nowhere near what it needs to be. And with the amount of homeowners we're going to have left behind, it was never going to float for us. That said, and like I said in your last time you interviewed me there recently, Greg, we don't have a veto on that. You know, so the best we can do as a lobby group is influence that as best we can. You know, there is a legal case running there through Dave Coleman as well, where there's 200 homes being used as test cases. We are going out to, with Eileen and Anne and a few others, to Brussels here at the end of the month, you know, to help Europe put pressure on our Irish government. We're already working with some of the congressmen in the States, from particularly Philadelphia, from Boston and New York. So we have lots of other irons in the fire that are all in the direction of goodness in terms of putting pressure on the government to give us the scheme we deserve.
The UK's Brexit minister will meet top EU officials tomorrow as discussions continue to resolve a fishing row with France, a row that could have implications for the future of the Northern Ireland Protocol, as well as the UK's withdrawal agreement from the European Union. The French have backed down on threats to block British boats from its ports if more licences were not granted, but a range of difficulties were apparently brought up in separate talks this morning. The UK's Brexit Minister David Frost and France's European Minister will speak again next week to try and resolve the issue. The government has published the new Climate Action Plan, setting out how emissions are to be more than halved by 2030. The plan sees guideline sectoral targets across all of the economy as part of efforts to ease global warming. Sean Defoe reports.
The plan sets out ranges of targets for sectors of the economy, including electricity, transport, agriculture, industry, buildings and forestry. They're set in ranges, for example, 22 to 30% for agriculture, the lowest range of cuts, or 62% to 81% for the energy sector at the higher end. If every department only hits the bottom end of those ranges, the 2030 targets won't be met. Over the next few months, that will be refined into a more firm target after the budgets have been taken through the Oireachtas. The measures include having 80% of Ireland's energy be renewable by the end of the decade with 5 gigawatts of offshore wind. Measures in the plan include 500,000 home retrofits, 680,000 renewable heat upgrades for homes, and changes to rules around building new homes, which would mean fossil fuels are essentially banned. There's targets for 500,000 daily additional public transport or active travel journeys, but the political rows will come thick and fast over the next few months, with those sectoral ceilings still up in the air.
A Midlands North West MEP says that farming sustainability is not a zero-sum game, where environmental action comes at a cost to the farmer. Lukeman Flanagan says that Taoiseach Micheál Martin has been making the right noises at the COP26 conference, and that now Minister Charlie McConlogue has to match the rhetoric and fine words with actions in the ongoing CAP discussions. Ming Flanagan says that Donegal farmers are already acting in a sustainable way, and that means the county will benefit from the eco-schemes in the new CAP.
A county like Donegal that already farms in a very, very sustainable and extensive way on the whole will actually benefit from these eco-schemes. Things like top-ups for non-productive areas, extensive livestock production, planting of native trees, limiting chemical nitrogen. These all play into what Donegal farmers already do. When we're having the debate on CAP and we're having the debate on climate change, I think we need to be more honest about it. And when we talk about the national herd, we need to look at different sectors and work out which are the more sustainable. And to me, at the moment, by far the most sustainable is the suckler sector, which bizarrely is being incentivised to reduce, while at the same time we have this country fighting against the idea of reducing the dairy herd.
Now, the perception is going to be that the suckler herd is very much made up of smaller farmers in counties like Donegal, whereas the dairy herd is mainly made up of larger farmers in the more southern and eastern counties, and they're the one ultimately who tend to hold more political sway.
That has been the case in the past. The reality is Donegal farmers will benefit from this CAP. And when you hear about protests going on about how it's going to be so terrible, those protests are being driven by farmers who at the moment get the lion's share of the money for not actually doing any more of the work.
The time is now 13 minutes past 5 o'clock. We'll take a short break and Sport with Kenny is coming up after these.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by MichaelMurphySports.ie, with free next day delivery on orders over €85.
The time is now 16 minutes past 5 o'clock. Time to go over to the sports desk and Kenny Hargan.
Thanks, Daniel. Good evening. Starting with rugby, and Johnny Sexton's poised to win a 100th cap for Ireland this weekend. The out half has been named by to captain Andy Farrell's side for the clash with Japan on Saturday. Jameson Gibson-Park is preferred to Conor Murray at scrum half. Tag Furlong, he'll win his 50th cap, while Andrew Porter starts a first international at loose head. The IRFU have confirmed that a number of tickets are still available for the game and are on general sale. Moving on to soccer, and Stephen Kenny says injury has ruled Aaron Connolly out of this month's World Cup qualifiers with Portugal and Luxembourg. The Brighton striker is not in the 26-man Republic of Ireland squad revealed today. Captain Seamus Coleman, he returns, as do Alan Brown and Jason Malumbu. But Kenny says it would have been unlikely that Connolly would be at his best this month.
So I spoke to Aaron yesterday myself, and we both decided he didn't feel he was really right, because he hasn't been training, he didn't feel he was right. Although technically he could possibly be available next Thursday for selection, but he hasn't been able to train, or he hasn't been training at all. He feels sore.
Reading goalkeeper Luke Southwood has been called into the Northern Ireland squad for the first time. Now, the former England youth international has impressed for the Championship side recently. 17-year-old Nottingham Forest striker Dale Taylor has also been included for the World Cup qualifiers against Lithuania and Italy. Northern Ireland's hopes of reaching the tournament has already ended. Here at home, Stephen Kenny's former club there in Derby action tonight. Dundalk make the short trip to head in the game park to face Drogheda United. That one starts at 7.45. In Europe, David Moyes takes charge of his 1,000th game as manager this evening, as West Ham side are away to Genk in Group H of the Europa League, knowing a win will seal a place in the knockout phase. Kickoff in Belgium is at 5.45. At the same time, Rangers there away to Brøndby in Group A, and there's an 8 o'clock start to the Group C encounter at the King Power Stadium, where Leicester enter Spartak Moscow. Celtic, they're also in action tonight. They have made the trip to Hungary to face Ferencváros. And Antonio Conte, he gets an early look at his Spurs players in action tonight. They entertain Vitesse Arnhem. That's in the Conference League. In other news, Eddie Howe is now understood to be the front runner to take over at Newcastle, who were turned down by Villarreal boss Unai Emery. The former Bournemouth manager has already held talks with the club's new Saudi owners. He's been out of work since leaving the South West club following their relegation from the Premier League last year. And Katie McCabe, she's been named as the Women's Super League Player of the Month for October. The Republic of Ireland captain scored twice for Arsenal last month. The Gunners are top of the table, having won all five of their games to date. In Gaelic games, Mayo look set to lose Oisin Mullen to AFL. Last year's Young Footballer of the Year has been lined up for an international rookie contract at Geelong. Mullen won an All-Star last year as he helped Mayo reach the All-Ireland final and has been shortlisted for the award again this year. In golf, in the PGA Tour in Mexico, Seamus Power is four shots off the lead as the opening round of the Worldwide Technology Championship draws to a close. The Waterford golfer is four under par with three to play. Shane Lowry is currently two under, but Graham McDowell's dropped back to one over par. Aaron Wise is the clubhouse leader in Mexico on eight under par. And on the European Tour, an opening round of 67 leaves Patrick Harrington six shots off the lead on day one of the Portugal Masters in Villamoura. The European Ryder Cup captain is in the clubhouse on four under par. Jonathan Caldwell's two under. Cormac Sharvin's five over following contrasting rounds of 69 and 76. At least Nino Bertarsio leads the way on 10 under par after a 61 today. Finally, for this evening, there's a huge weekend of sport ahead. We'll be broadcasting a score special this evening. Our extended show will preview the Donegal Senior County Final, as we'll hear from both the Naoimh Connell and St Eunan's camps, plus former Dr Maguire winners John Gilday, Martin McHugh and Brendan Kilcoyne. There's also the Donegal Intermediate Final and the Senior Decider in Derry to talk about as well. Not forgetting the big derby. Former Finn Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen and Kevin McLaughlin of the Derry Journal, they'll give us their input into tomorrow evening's Finn Harps against Derry City Premier Division clash. That's a score special tonight, just after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Daniel.
Thanks, Kenny. The weather now, cool and cloudy this evening, but dry apart from a few isolated light showers. It'll be mostly cloudy tonight with a little patchy light rain and drizzle with lowest temperatures of 4 to 6 degrees. That's all from the newsroom for now. This evening's obituary notice will follow the upcoming farming news and views. So now it's over to Chris Ashmore for this week's farming news.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, coming up this evening, we'll be looking at how many farmers are not getting on top of their taxes and indeed are not claiming tax back. But first, this evening, a Dunkaneely farmer is among 25 speakers who will address the fourth annual Biological Farming Conference, BioFarm 2021. Cathal Mooney of Heather Hill Farm is one of more than 25 Irish and international speakers who will address delegates at the conference. Well, Cathal is a regenerative farmer. He takes a holistic approach to farming, focusing on ecological, social and economic goals. And his Heather Hill Farm in Dunkaneely produces pasture-raised turkey, pasture-raised chicken, pasture-raised eggs, wildflower honey and grass-fed lamb. And he's covering the topic of making small farms work. That conference will take place in the Landmark Hotel in Carrick and Shannon in Leitrim from November the 8th to the 12th. And the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, will deliver the opening address. Well, it would seem that quite a few Donegal farmers are not getting on top of their taxes. Indeed, some could have expenses that they haven't claimed for. Well, in this week's Irish Country Living magazine in the Irish Farmers Journal, Ciara Leahy, the consumer and food editor, has been delving into the subject, and she's been telling me more.
Would you believe that 70% of people actually don't claim back their taxes? And it's something that we all should really be doing, because if you've never claimed back your taxes or you haven't claimed back your tax in more than 4 years, then the average repayment, or sorry, not repayment, the average payment you would get back into your account is €1,076, which is a lot of money, Chris. And it takes a bit of work, right? It takes maybe 3 or 4 hours work. But when you break that down, that's €269 per hour. So that's a lot of money to be getting per hour. So it's definitely something that we should all be doing.
Absolutely. So give us a couple of examples. Or what are the sort of things that people can claim tax back on that maybe they're unaware of?
Sure. So basically, there is a very long list, and it's worth exploring, because there's certain reliefs that are, you know, individual enough or might be niche enough. But there's four areas that a lot of people can benefit from. So the first one is your health expenses. And basically, you can get 20% back on most of your health receipts. And if you haven't, this one is a real money earner. The average payback over 4 years to this one is €494. And it's like, you wouldn't believe the amount of stuff that you can claim back from medically. So obviously, like GPs is the obvious one, and a lot of dental, but it applies to consultant appointments, hospital clinics, IVF treatments and nursing homes. You can claim for acupuncture, trips to physio, even a trip in the ambulance, and all your prescriptions. So that's a big one that people should be looking at. There's also the thing called e-worker relief, which has become very applicable to people, what with COVID and many of us working from home. So basically what it is you can claim back on some of your heating, electricity and broadband costs. So the way it works is you get your bills for the year, you calculate how many days that you've worked from home. For a lot of people, you know, if you're doing last year, it's basically like after the 17th of March, how many days did I work from home? And then you basically get 10% back on your heating and your electricity and 30% back on your broadband. But actually, it actually changed in the budget that from the 1st of January 2022, you'd actually be able to claim back 30% on all of them. So that's worth doing. I'm just going to give you a bit of, you know, indicator of how much you could get. You know, we did an example of a utility bill, so estimating 1,000 for electricity, 1,000 for gas and 600 for broadband. And you could get back up to €99 if you worked from home through the pandemic last year. And then college fees is another big one. You can get 20% back for tuition fees paid up to a maximum of €3,000 per year. So if you paid, say, over €3,000 or whatever, that's essentially €600 in your pocket. If you did a 2 years master, that's €1,200. So that's a big cash payment for somebody that might be, you know, in their early 20s, or certainly as well, you know, someone in their 50s or 60s that paid for their child's tuition fees. And then the last one that is a great one is flat rate expenses. Why this one is great is because you don't have to do much work for this one. You just need to be able to prove that you are in a certain occupation. So it's basically a tax relief available to people in certain occupations. And it's to help with costs associated with work, for example, uniforms, tools, equipment. And there's a huge range of professions, Chris, that are eligible. So agriculture advisors, vets, anyone in the building industry, carpenters or plumbers, anyone that's in the hotel sector, if you're a shop assistant, people in the civil service, and you know, what you're entitled to depends on your profession, but all you have to do is Google the list and you'll be able to see what you're entitled to. A lot of farmers would actually have farm accountants, which would be helping them, you know, doing their self-assessment. And obviously then, if you have a farm accountant, they're very much on the ball of what you can claim back in terms of tax relief.
Yeah. Now, you can do it yourself. You can go online. You can get help from the experts. It may cost you a few quid, but ultimately, it probably is money very well spent.
Yeah, I guess, Chris, the way you do it depends on, you know, how confident you are. You know, you could easily do it yourself on revenues. You just basically log on to their Roth, which is the Revenue Online Service. You set up an account. It's straightforward enough. You fill in the necessary documents to make your claim, and then all that money goes back into your account. But if you feel like, oh, God, I really don't even know where to start, then basically there's companies set up exactly for that reason to kind of hand hold people through the whole process. So there's companies like TaxBack.com and Tax Rebate, and basically what they do is they'll assign somebody to your case, and then they'll ask you some questions to ascertain what relief you can claim for. Now, the onus is on you to track down the receipts, but once that's done, they'll file everything for you. Now, obviously, there's a fee involved, but, you know, I guess the thing is, they might be able to say, oh, you know what, you actually are entitled to this, or you're actually entitled to that, so the fee involved might actually be cancelled out because, you know, they're helping to get you more money.
And I suppose finally the bottom line is if you're spending money on any sort of an expense, keep the receipt. It may or may not be usable to get some sort of rebate, but if you don't have it in the first place, you can't claim back.
Absolutely. And the other thing to be aware of is, you know, the 31st of December is a really big deadline, because you can claim back for the last 4 years. So you can claim back for 2017, 2018, 2019 and 2020. But once we go to January 1, then you can only claim back from the four previous years, which means you'll be missing out in 2017. So if you're someone that's never done your taxes, you know, it is important, because you could miss out in 2017, and it's especially important if you're in college during those years, because that could be a big payout that you'll miss out on.
And that was Ciara Leahy of the Irish Country Living magazine. Donegal Farm families will be going to Dublin on Sunday, November the 21st, to join in a national march to highlight the importance of farming to the Irish economy. The IFA President Tim Cullinan says it's important to send a strong message to the government that it needs to sit down with elected farm leaders to make an agreed plan for the sector. He said that farm families are genuinely fearful about what the future holds, and it's hoped that there'll be a strong Donegal representation there. And in other news, Gareth Lamberton, the dairy farmer from Fawn, will address the Nuffield Ireland Conference, which takes place in Dublin on Friday, November the 12th. Gareth recently completed a Nuffield Ireland scholarship, and he will present the findings of his report, which aims to encourage farmers and agricultural professionals to engage more at community level in order to rebalance the urban-rural divide. And finally, some of you may have seen a piece in the Inish Times this week about a pedigree sheep breeder from Inishowen who got a record price at Rafo Mart. Natasha Darty, who farms near Mamor Gap, sold her 10-month-old ram for €3,000 recently. Named Parish Impeccable, the ram was bought by renowned sheep breeder Seamus Brown, Letterkenny. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, November the 4th. The death has occurred of Dom Epsey, 36, Woodlawn, Stranorler. Funeral leaving his late residence on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler, interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorler. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to CCU Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Mary Duffy, Nee Burns, Knockagarran, Broad Road, Convoy. Remains will be reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday at 10:30 a.m, going to St Mary's Church Convoy for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the new cemetery, Convoy. House strictly private, please.
The death has taken place of Pat Davenport, Rooski, Quigley's Point. Pat's remains will repose at her home from 7 p.m. this evening. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Columba's Church, Drung, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Pat's funeral mass can be viewed live on stcolumbasdrung.net. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, in aid of St. Vincent de Paul, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Colin McLafferty, Derry Hassan, Downings. His remains are reposing at his late residence, house strictly private. Funeral from there tomorrow, going to the Church of St. John the Baptist, Kerrygart, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Rosie O'Brien, Mina Claddy, Gidor. Removal from the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, today at 3 p.m, going to her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday to St. Columbkill's Church, Knockfalla, for 12 noon Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. Rosary said on both nights at 9 p.m. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Gallagher Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of Marion Kelly, Ran, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards to St. Patrick's Church Graveyard, Dungiven, County Derry. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Con McDade Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Margaret McAleer, Nee Mullen, 17 Main Damp Road, Letterbrat, Plumbridge. Margaret's remains are reposing at her family home. Funeral from her home on Friday at 10:30 a.m. to the Sacred Heart Church, Plumbridge, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of flowers to Marie Curie Cancer Care. House private, please, from 11 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Jim Kavanagh, formerly of Clonbeg, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at Porter Funeral Home, Meenagorie, with viewing this evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Funeral mass in St. Mary's Church, Cock Hill, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Kathleen Carr, Ní Boyle, Tully, Ballyheeran, Fanad, and formerly Overmelton. Kathleen's remains are reposing at her late residence. Requiem mass in St. Columba's Church, Massmount, tomorrow at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on St. Mary's Funavolty and St. Columba's Massmount Facebook page. House private on the morning of the funeral, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Medical 2, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Paddy Gillespie, Derry Drool, Littermack Award. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass tomorrow at 11 o'clock in St. Corona's Church, Dunlow, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Margaret Gallen, 51, Altiscane, Strabane, and formerly of Lismala Duff, Crossroads, Killigordon. Requiem mass will be celebrated tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Cremation afterwards in Lakeland's Crematorium, County Cavan. The mass can be viewed live via the parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of John James Deary, Ohigalt, Drumkeen. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral from there tomorrow, going to St. Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. The mass can be viewed on Craig's Media Facebook page. The death has taken place in Talla, Dublin, of Thomas Tommy Daly, formerly of Main Street, Lifford. Funeral leaving his brother Liam Daly's home, Main Street, Lifford, tomorrow afternoon at 12:20 p.m. for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford, at 1 p.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Aware, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live at clonleyparish.com. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, you can go to highlandradio.com.